Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights. Another listener question episode. First, thanks sponsors, Topps, Panini, Upper Deck, Heritage Auctions, Huggins & Scott Auctions, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Burbank Sports Cards, CompC.com, and Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentications. I was on Hobby Hotline with Victor Roman, and we talked before and after about how much fun we had doing the various parts of the RC Ramblings a month and a half ago now. But I got a number of other questions about it. Just follow up. I've got a very responsive audience, and Victor has a lot of back and forth with collectors. It's a serious topic. Victor takes it seriously. I take it seriously. But here's some of the comments that I got that I can expound on that hopefully add to the discussion. First from Ben Bram. He's from New Jersey, and he remembers back in 82 that he could get Fleer, but he couldn't get Donruss. Then he later got Donruss when they were doing the Donruss fun bags, the fun packs, which they put in their leftover stuff from previous years. And they did that in the early 80s, probably not as much in 84, but 82 and 83. And so he bought a bunch of the bags, and he got Ripkins and Boggs and Sandbergs and Gwynns. And those are rookies that you would recognize are the key rookies for 82 and 83. In fact, Junk Wax really, it's junk wax if there's no good rookies in the product. And that's what happened as you got into the late 80s, early 90s. It's a junk wax product if there's nothing good in there. And this is before the day of grading. But if the best card you can get out of a pack is less than a dollar, let's say, without intervention of grading, then it's not worth it. Grading has changed that. Ben doesn't bring this up, but it reminds me that back in 81, 82, 83, there really wasn't any serious discussion about Fleer and Donruss not being full rookie cards. Now, the value was less. They weren't damaged goods or anything, but the better rookie card clearly in 81, 82, and 83 was the Topps version. But the 82 and 83 Donruss and Fleer were certainly rookie cards. Again, that changed in 84 when Donruss and Fleer really upped their game. And there was a pretty early perception that they sold better than Topps finally in 84. And then when the 84 Fleer update came on with the end of the year set with Puckett and Clemens, Fleer and Donruss really made their mark in 84. Continue with Ben Bram. He's an eclectic collector. He likes to get pre-rookie cards and photos, especially before the player has his cards. And he mentioned that he likes to get cards that are issued before their first pack pulled card. And it makes me realize that sometimes non-pack pulled cards are really hard to get. If you go for pack pulled cards, that means the card was in a pack. That generally means it was more mass produced. He's maybe onto something. If it's not pack pulled, it's not considered as good of a rookie. It might be a pre-rookie, but he's assembled a very nice collection. And I share those sentiments. I like having early cards of players. If it wasn't pack pulled, it had to be handed out. And typically that was one at a time. Whereas with packs, you just buy a bunch of packs and accumulate them. Another one from my friend John Keating, that 70s card show, really enjoyed all three parts. But he says it's just based on the money, that the leagues and the manufacturers and the Player Association, they believe that, he says, chaos equals cash. They don't want clarity. And he doesn't believe collectors should even insist on it because the hobby has always been about subjectivity. I agree, but John, chaos equals cash, but the cash does not flow and spread equally to everyone. Those who have an edge in knowledge or power get most of the cash. And he mentions trying to apply modern standards to vintage and pre-war is an exercise in futility. Futility is a bad word. Futility means people give up. So chaos means there's opportunity. Futility means the deck is stacked against them and they give up. It's my points. But thanks, John, for your incisive comments, as always. From the exhibit guy, and being from the northern Midwest, the Montana, Dakota, northern Minnesota, they got exhibit cards, but they didn't have some of the other things. He mentioning that exhibits came out pretty much every year from 1921 to 1966. Now, the problem is you can't always know what year you were getting, but there has been a lot of research done on that. So it's good when a company puts out cards every year. It's not good when you don't know after the fact what year they were. Many of the cards were printed year after year. They were authorized reprints. The player didn't change teams. He was a popular player. They may have changed a caption or something on it, but if you can't tell the year, Stukes, that's probably another reason it's a lesser rookie card. Now, the stat-back exhibits, and I took your point, I agree that some of the exhibits were actually issued in packs. Not all of them came out of the machines. There were some packs. But frankly, right now, I think the Lou Gehrig exhibit is probably the best or only example of an exhibit rookie card. Satchel Paige, he's got an exhibit card, but he's also got 48/49 Leaf and 49 Bowman. From Matt, mentioning the Topps Tiffany's, potentially not being rookie RCs because they weren't in packs. So he says, what about the 84 Topps Mattingly when it came in a vending box? That was never in a pack either. So why is that also not a rookie? The problem is, Matt, they're indistinguishable. Once you open up the pack or open up the vending box, or even cut from sheet, if it's professionally cut from a sheet, which some of the 84s were like that too. But if they're professionally cut, you just can't tell. Maybe it wasn't. And again, the Tiffany's really originally were not considered rookie cards for that reason. But I think now they're just too similar. It's too hard to explain that's not a rookie card when it looks exactly the same on the front, only nicer, and the same on the back, only nicer as well. IG High Speed Card Chase. He says, if you have any 3-star Jordan rookies in your collection, be happy to take them off my hands. They give you a boost on achieving your goal of selling off your collection at a faster pace this year. Thank you, IG. My 1% rule, 1% a month, is not based on dollars. Otherwise, I could sell one card and get 1% for some of my very best cards. But it's based on the volume. It's based on cards, the weight, the cubic feet even. I'm trying to reduce my load. And so the Star Company Jordan that I have, actually, it is on the wall, and you'll see it when I get to the Jays. It's a good card, and I'll eventually sell it because you can't take it with you, but it'll be one of the last things I sell because I do think it's a legitimate rookie. I'm on record of saying I believe it's more of an XRC because of the way it was distributed. P4G, he's getting into the semantics. I'm a little bit of a wordsmith. I think I'm a numbersmith too, but in the semantics, he makes note that Victor Roman is not the rookie cards specialist. He's the rookie card specialist. And he says that if he's the rookie card, shouldn't there only be one rookie card? I would love that, but the horse has left the barn. There's so many rookie cards now. And even the definition of first, there's a tie for first of all these cards that come out now. The parallels, all that stuff, they came out in the rookie year. It's the same artwork with a different background treatment. And I think we're just going to lose that. I agree. Words should have meanings. But if you're an NBA fan like I am, I don't think the definition of traveling and palming have changed in the rule book. But the rule had changed, but the interpretation has been so liberalized that the game does not resemble what it was when I was playing. They think it's no harm, no foul, and that everybody's going to do it. And so that's just the way it is. I don't like seeing rookie cards being like that. It shouldn't be anything goes. There ought to be some reasonable structure that people can understand. Beansball Card Blog, Ken, grabbing on to the fact that in the old days, the regional cards, not everybody could get them. And so that made them high demand, but not necessarily rookie cards. But now technically everything is available to everyone. Yes, technically, but it's only available to everyone that's in the know. If you're not aware, in the old days, when I was a little kid, in my childhood, you just go to the corner store and the cards were there. And so that was available to everyone. You found out about it on the playground and you headed over to the store and hopefully you got there before all the cards were gone. And if not, you tried to make it up on the next series or trade with somebody. Jerry Hoke commenting about Topps and Opeachy difference, that why would, if the Topps cards were not in Canada, and so that's a regional set to Canadians, he's saying, why should there be geographic boundaries surrounding the definition of a card? Frankly, that was way more prevalent when I went to the Toronto Expo. And even now, I think Opeachy is preferred to Topps. It is the preferred rookie card for certainly hockey, more so than baseball, because that's where it was issued. Around here, we're preferring Topps because it came here. But geographic boundaries are starting to dissolve. This used to be a very American-centric hobby historically. I think that's changing, and that's not necessarily bad. Another thing that came up that I don't think has been brought up is that rookie cards ought to be of players that are in the top league in their sport. So that would mean that USFL or certain of the lesser soccer leagues that are not the very top league, that would not be a rookie card potentially, or not be a best rookie card. It might be an XRC in the vernacular that I've used. And frankly, it's not just the top league in the sport. It ought to be also issued in the nation of that league. And that would, I haven't really heard this discussed, but 77 Topps Mexican and the early 60s Topps Venezuelan. yes, they're issued in the rookie card, sometimes in the rookie year. Yes, they look similar. And yes, they're the top league, the NFL or Major League Baseball. But if it's not issued in the nation of that league, like I said to Victor, I think that's a little bit of a strike, of a negative. I'd take away a star. It wouldn't be the best rookie card. I want the first card of the guy in that league, the best league in the sport, the first card that came out, preferably pack pulled, available to everybody, and issued in that nation, not the foreign version of it. Finally, one of the things that came up I was really championing back in the 80s and the 90s is that it mattered what time during the year the rookie card came out. It was a better rookie card if it came out early in the year. Frankly, you just can't do that anymore because a lot of the premium brands for the companies are not the first ones out. In fact, in light of that, generally, many of these card companies put out their more popularly priced flagship or other kinds of things early in the year to get a running head start there. And then they save their more premium brands for later in the year. And those, frankly, because of the price point, they wind up being the better rookies in many cases. And then you find this, again, dilemma that the early in the year rookies that sell great all of a sudden have falling prices when there's so many other rookies and perceived better rookies coming out toward the end of the year. So it's unreasonable to think that people can pick up two cards and know automatically without doing some research which card came out earlier in their rookie year. So I think what's happened is that people just say they're both rookie cards. Again, if the card that came out in the first of the year doesn't even have them in their pro uniform because they haven't appeared in a game yet, which used to happen, that probably came out earlier than the one that shows him with a game highlight or can talk about the first half of the year on the back of the cards. Again, I think that's a losing battle. If you've got a card that's in that player's rookie year, the card companies in the leagues and the players says you want a broad definition of a rookie card, and Victor and I are trying to say, yes, but let's have some reasonable guidance. Lines here. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, especially Victor, and I'll be back again in a couple days, another episode.